enjoyed all that's gone before us this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers that we would continue. Got plenty of time. You know, Brother Thomas didn't start until about 10 after, so there's plenty of time left here. I'd like to call your attention to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In keeping with praising God and realizing our need of the Lord, that's a big one, isn't it? To keep in mind how much we need Him. I think that'll help us in our praising to remember how much we need Him. In Acts chapter 1, we have the record of our Lord going back to heaven. But I want to read a little bit of the beginning of this chapter to kind of set the stage here. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former treatise. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He was the penman, at least. The author was the Lord in inspiring his word to be written. The Lord used Luke to record not only the gospel according to Luke, but also the book of Acts. And so the former treatise was those things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Then he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Until the day he was taken up. By the way, the word Theophilus, he's addressing here, and he addressed him also in the book of Luke. Was it a person, maybe? I don't know. But the meaning of the word is a lover of God. Okay? So, it's to us, isn't it? Those who love the Lord. So when he says that he's writing this to Theophilus, there could have been a person by that name, but the meaning for us today is that it's for those who love God. Okay? And let's go ahead and continue to say those who feel their need of him, those who desire to praise him. This is what the scriptures are written to, and it's for our learning that we may, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, have hope. All right? So, he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now, to the unbeliever, nothing's going to make them believe. But for the believer, for our comfort, reading these scriptures and reminding ourselves of these infallible proofs, those undeniable things that he did and he said and promised and fulfilled, and all of that he given us to cause us to remember. So he says, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his resurrection, for a period of about 40 days, he appeared to his apostles, teaching them concerning the kingdom of God. So here's a question for you. Now that Jesus has gone away, and he's been gone about 2,000 years, hasn't he? Is he coming back? Are you sure? Are you absolutely persuaded that he is coming back? Thank you. That's why Piney Grove Church is still here. There's a band of believers that are waiting for his coming back. But here's another question for you. What are we supposed to do while we wait for him to come back? How are we supposed to live? What should others see in our lives? I believe they ought to see praise. We heard that this morning. I believe they ought to see a people who realize their need of the Lord. We've heard that this morning. Is he coming back?
Yes.
Well, he said so. That's enough. He said he would. All right? So when we think about then, he said he appeared to them over the 40 days, speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It was going to be a long time before he comes back. And he had a special work for those men to perform. By the way, it's only 11 of them by now, right? Okay. And so he teaches them concerning the kingdom. It's interesting, by the way, when the book of John, the gospel according to John, comes to a close, one of the last things that Jesus said, as recorded by John, one of the last things that Jesus said to Peter was to follow me. And Peter looks over and he sees John. Remember that? Peter seeth him, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Aren't we prone to do that? Lord, I've done so much. I've done enough. What, can't somebody else do something? Have you ever felt that way? You know, tempted to feel that way? The Lord didn't say, Peter, I know you've done so much. He didn't even address that. He simply said this: if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Every one of us needs to lay that admonition to heart. It would be good for all of us to follow him. But if we happen to somehow think that somebody else is not doing as much as we are, don't worry about it. Now, there's room for admonition. There's room for us to encourage others. There's all of that, and we should be good to do that. But first and foremost, we need to take care of following him ourselves. And if we'll continue to do that, Piney Grove Church can stand for a lot longer. Right? But if we turn aside, and if we forget, if we think that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, if we get into that attitude, that candlestick may go, may be taken from us. All right, so Jesus was teaching his apostles for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. All right? And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. How long? How about 10 days? When Pentecost would come. He told them to tarry ye here in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They weren't ready to go out and preach the gospel in the way that the Lord intended. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them in this message. All right? And so they were to tarry, wait for the Holy Spirit, which he said not many days hence, for we understand now we're on this side of it. We know that it was 10 more days. All right? So they came together, and then they asked a question. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The Lord said, it's not for you to know the time. What does he say? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. All right? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And by the way, as he says, ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You can go through the book of Acts, and you can see how that unfolded. Every step of what he says right here unfolds. And there's a, you can tell, there were things that happened in Jerusalem. Then they're all Judea. And then in Samaria. And then into the uttermost part. You can just follow it right on that. What he's saying here is not just just some words. They are specific concerning the work that he would empower them to do. Okay? But it's not going to be the kind of power that, you know, if the Lord were to restore the kingdom to Israel and they had authority in such a way that they could mandate things. No, it's going to be by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. All right? If they had been listening back in, Matthew 21:43, I think it is, where he says, "Behold, the kingdom is taken from you." Jesus was talking to some of the Jews. And he said, "Behold, the kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." All right? They had a kingdom in the Old Testament. But you know what? I know there's still a nation today that's named Israel. But as far as Old Testament Israel, God's finished with that as a nation. He still has people who are Jewish. God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. But as far as the nation of Israel as a nation, God's finished with that. He said that the kingdom, he said, the kingdom is taken, behold, the kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And that nation bringing forth the fruits thereof is the church. Believers, okay, those who know he's the king. Those who believe he's the king, those who praise him as our king, those who serve him in his kingdom today. That's where the kingdom is. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right? So they didn't need for him to restore the kingdom to them so that they had that authority. What they need is the Holy Spirit to empower them in the days ahead and to do the work that he called them to do. All right? So, verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Can you see that? "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven?" Why were they gazing up into heaven? Well, I think if it was me, I'd be trying to get just another glimpse. To have the presence of the Lord right there with them must have been a tremendous blessing. I mean, in bodily form. We still have him in the Holy Spirit, and that's just as good. But, you know, to these natural minds of ours, I'm sure it had to be tremendously wonderful just to be in his bodily presence. But now he's gone into heaven. So I suspect they were gazing just to see if they could see him one more time. Why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus. And I want to emphasize that this morning. This same Jesus. The one that healed the sick. The one that restored sight to the blind. The one that cleansed the lepers. The one that healed all manner of disease and infirmity. And showed his love and compassion in such mighty ways. The one that we had read about, who he began to do and teach, those all that he did, this same Jesus, right? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I asked the question earlier, what should we be doing while we're waiting for him to come back? Well, we don't need to be standing around gazing into heaven. Right? You know, biblical waiting has an element of serving. Biblical waiting has the idea of, you know, there is a wait involved here, but while we're waiting, we need to be serving and not just sitting around doing nothing. Brother Kenneth used the expression, the pilgrim perspective. We should maintain that pilgrim perspective and remind ourselves every day we live, he is coming back. And why is he coming back? Didn't he finish the work that he came to do? Why is he coming back? He's coming back to get all for whom he died. We're precious to him. Well, we're so precious that someday he's coming back and he's going to raise those that have gone home to be with him already. He's going to raise their bodies. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. He's coming back to get all that he paid for. All right? Okay. They said, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Bless your hearts, every day we live, we need to remember our need of the Lord. We need to remember that pilgrim perspective, that we're not here forever. Aren't you thankful for that? This world's getting to be a mess. Now, it's not out of God's control. He can intervene whenever he wants to. Brother Thomas made mention of the fact that he's omnipotent. He can intervene anytime he wants to. Okay? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know he is coming back. And several of the writers were inspired to give us those thoughts about his coming back. And so in the time left here, which is not much, John chapter 14:3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, did he go? Well, I just read to you the account of him going back into heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you to myself. So he's going to receive us to himself. And there's scriptures that talks about how that's going to come to pass when he receives us unto himself. The scripture does not speak of him coming back and setting foot on this earth. He's finished with his works upon this earth as far, you know, until the judgment day. All right? So he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there. Let's just very quickly here go back to the book of Daniel. Okay? And I'll just have to get a couple of verses. Daniel chapter 7. All right? This is one of those visions that Daniel was given. And Daniel was beloved of the Lord. And I tell you, the more I study the scriptures, the more I appreciate the prophecy of Daniel. God showed Daniel tremendous detail about the future. All right? And we don't have time to get into that. But Daniel 7 verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came, how'd he come? With the clouds of heaven. Didn't he go away in a cloud? Weren't we told he's going to come back in like manner? One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. We're not talking about something that's going to happen for 1,000 years here upon this earth. We're talking about his kingdom shall never pass away. It'll never be destroyed. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And so we find that it speaks of him coming in the clouds. Jude. I like that expression. You find the chapter and I'll tell you which verse. All right? Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, keep that in mind. It doesn't say clouds here. Some of you may have known Elder R.A. Tyndall from Amarillo, Texas. Or at least that's where he lived in his latter years. But he used to say that cloud that Jesus is coming in was all those 10,000s of saints that was coming with him. That's a good thought. It's a good thought. Those 10,000s of saints coming with him. But listen to what Enoch was talking about. To execute judgment upon all. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What about salvation? Enoch didn't say anything. Jude didn't say anything about salvation, did he? Well, you read scriptures and you get a little bit here and you get a little bit there. And if you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I know I'm bouncing around, but hang in there. Listen to what he says in the beginning of verse 13, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those that are asleep, their bodies are in the grave, but their soul and spirit is with the Lord. All right? And he goes on to say, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? All right. So even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Now the soul is not sleeping in the grave. Their body is asleep. Jesus speaks about, to us, they're dead. And if we were the only ones involved here, they'd always be dead. But he's going to call them. He's going to awaken them so he can speak of them as being asleep. All right? Their soul and spirit is in heaven with the Lord. Their body is asleep in the grave. All right? Even though them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when Jesus comes again, he's bringing the souls and spirits of those that have departed, he's bringing them with him. So he's coming in the clouds, and as Jude says, Jude quoted Enoch, he's cometh with 10,000s. That's a lot. 10,000s of his saints. And Paul says he's bringing them with him. Whether that looks like, whether those saints are going to make it look like a cloud or whether he's got the clouds coming with them, whatever. He's coming. He's coming in the clouds. And he's got 10,000s of the saints with him. All right? You know, it sounds like to me, with as much as there is to say about what's going to happen when he comes back, there shouldn't be any doubt in any believer's mind that he is coming back. Because not only is he coming back, but we got a whole lot of details about what's going to happen. All right? So, all right, let's just stay with this right here. Staying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So he's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That simply means we're not going to precede, we're not going to go before those who are asleep. Those whose bodies are in the grave and the souls and spirits, all right, we're not going to... We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which, not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And as we've already established, he's coming in the clouds. He's got 10,000s of the saints with him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are in the graves are coming out. Isn't that what he said in John chapter 5? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. All right? Both the elect and the non-elect, they're all coming forth. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain... Okay, it might not be us. There's commentators that say Paul just didn't really understand how long it was going to be before Jesus came back, because he included himself in those that were supposed to be alive when Jesus came back. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is there are going to be some believers who are still alive and remain when he comes again. Okay, it may not be us, but it'll be somebody, some believers, all right? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's those clouds again. He went away in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. All right? We're going to be caught up together. That sounds like to me that he's going to receive us unto himself, and he's going to be in the clouds. He's not standing on the earth. He's not setting up a kingdom to reign for 1,000 years. He's going to be in the clouds. He's going to receive us unto himself. All right? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. There it is. Whew. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Lord's coming back. He went up into a cloud. The angels said, he's going to come again as you saw him go away in the clouds. So he's coming again in the clouds. And he's going to have 10,000s of his saints with him. Now, you may not know 10,000 of his saints, but you know some of them. You know, I mentioned this church has been here 174 years by the grace of God. It would be interesting to know how many members have died of just Piney Grove. How many members have died and gone home to be with the Lord? But not just Piney Grove, but we all know a lot of saints that have gone home to be with the Lord. I said saints. You know, sometimes we don't feel much like a saint, do we? If we feel our unworthiness and all that. But listen, if you feel that way, and if it's a sincere feeling of unworthiness before God, that's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That convicting of the Holy Spirit of what we are by nature. But bless your hearts, that's an evidence of spiritual life. That's an evidence that we have been sanctified and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? It'd be interesting. So we, not only this church, but we know others in your past who have loved the Lord, whose bodies are now at sleep in the grave, but they're with the Lord, and they're going to be part of that 10,000s of his saints that are coming back with him. And God's going to raise these bodies. Now, it doesn't matter what condition that body met at the time of their death. Some people don't have the opportunity to have closure because there wasn't a body for them to see. Doesn't matter to God. It's no problem for him. He knows where it is. He can raise it. He can reunite that body, that risen, glorified body. He can reunite it with that soul and spirit and take it home to be with him. And he's going to do that without the loss of one. Everyone that he loved, everyone that he died for, are going to be raised and fashioned like unto his glorious body and taken home to be with him forever. And he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Isn't that comforting to us today? No matter what happens, no matter how much we loved them while they were here, they're not here anymore, that's okay. It's not goodbye, it's just so long. We will see them again. When he comes in the clouds, when he comes with 10,000s of his saints, when he comes to receive us unto himself. Now, I hope that that lesson would cause us to realize how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. Because not only is he coming back to get us so that we can be with him forever, but he says, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And he's talking about his Holy Spirit can come to us every day we live right now. Doesn't come in bodily form, but he comes in spirit. And we can talk with him. And we can cast all our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. We can commune with him. We can thank him. We can praise him. We can walk each day before him, realizing someday he's coming back to get us and take us home to be with him forever. We ought to be, that ought to cause us to want to praise him. That ought to cause us to realize that though as unworthy as we are, yet he's so good. His mercy and his grace has been bestowed upon us. And someday we won't have to worry about all of our imperfections. We won't have to worry about our mortality. Because this mortal shall put on immortality. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. When he comes again. Oh, as we think about it. All right, one more. I'm just going to read this. And close it. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. The last book of the Bible. All right, Jesus speaking. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they all speak. Jesus is speaking through John here, by the way. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. May God help us to live to his praise and honor and glory each day, considering ourselves, knowing what we are, but being thankful for his mercy and grace upon us. And may we give him praise, and may our very words and actions show forth his praises. Whether we ever say a word about him or not, may we should, but if we don't, May our footsteps and our actions and our choices show to the world that we love the Lord, we are thankful for His mercy and His blessings, and we are waiting for Him to come back and take us home to be with Him. May God bless you is our prayer.